ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد in our tarbiyah series today we will talk about the issue of haram and halal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all the anbiya and they all did the same thing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said uhilla lakum at-tayyibat wa harrama 'alaykum al-khaba'ith Allah said, they have made halal for you all the things which are good and pure. And they have made haram for you all the things which are impure and khabith. As far as we are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it even easier. And He said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hashr, whatever my Rasul gives you, take it. And whatever my Rasul stops you from, stop from it. I want to remind myself and you that this issue of haram and halal has two parts. One is what you eat and the other one is what you earn. And let us look at both of these. Today, if we look at our plate is international. Our plate is international. No matter which country you are eating in, the plate is international. The meat comes from one country, the chicken comes from some other country, the fish comes from a third country, the oil comes from some other place, and so on and so on and so on. And therefore, it is very essential for us to be sure of what we put in our mouths. Now, many times people say that such and such a thing has a halal certification on it. Now, chicken for example, any chicken that comes out of a factory, processed chicken, whether it is Venky's or Godrej or whatever, please understand one thing very clearly, that chicken processing machinery is designed for operational efficiency, which means it is designed to produce to increase the output per minute. To increase the number of chickens that are processed per minute. It is not designed for halal processing. Any machinery. I have been inside a chicken factory. I have seen how it works. I don't want to go into the details here, but take my word for it. The halal certification, for example, for the Godrej chickens, the halal certification comes from a masjid in Bombay, which I have never heard of. Now, the fact that I should have heard of something is not a criterion in deen. But my point is, it is not a proper halal certification organization. It is some masjid committee in Bombay, which we have no clue who they are and what they are. And they certify that the Godrej chickens are halal. Now, I have a very simple rule that I apply to myself. And which I suggest that you also apply to yourself. And that is, that with regard to haram and halal eating, just ask yourself, if the word haram is substituted with the word poisoned, will you still take a chance? It's as simple as that. Instead of saying haram, if we said poisoned, will you still take a chance on some stamp which is on that package? And if you think that poisoned is too extreme, then let me say, instead of saying poisoned, if I say allergen, which means that this food contains something to which you have a severe allergy. That I'm sure is easy enough to imagine. Supposing you say that this thing which you are eating may have an ingredient in it to which you are severely allergic. What will you do? Will you still take a chance? Or will you ask 20 times and if you are still not sure, you say, well, I better not eat it anyway. Even though all these people are saying it's okay, I'm not sure that I can believe them, so therefore, let me not eat it anyway, because after all, I am not dying of starvation, and I have multiple choices. So please understand this very clearly. I have given you a dalil from the Quran, let me give you a dalil from the seerah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came home one day from somewhere, and he asked his servant, do you have anything to eat? The man gave him a bowl of milk and he drank it. After he drank the bowl of milk, the man said, "You always ask me the origin of whatever I give you. Today you did not ask me." Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to him, he said that, "You know I am so careful about what I eat, so I expect that you will not give me anything which is not jais. What was this milk?" The man said, "This milk was my wages for some magic that I had done for a tribe outside Medina before I became Muslim." What did he say? He said that there is a tribe which lives outside Medina. I had done some magic for them. I used to be a magician or a soothsayer. I had done something for them before I became Muslim. They had not paid me then, so they paid me today when I was going by that way. And their payment was this milk, which I gave you." Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu started inducing vomit. He put his fingers in his throat and he started vomiting. And he vomited that entire milk out, and he continued until he brought out blood. The people stopped him and they said, "What are you doing? You will kill yourself." Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, "I am doing this because I heard my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that if you eat a morsel of haram food and it becomes a part of your body because it is digested, the fire of Jahannam is wajib on this body." Now just think about the issue itself. Think about the issue itself. What is the issue? Abu Bakr Siddiq ate something which did not even belong to him. He drank this milk which actually was the property of the servant. The servant gave it to him as a gift. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu drank it. Milk fi nafsihi by itself is halal. Therefore, if you get something as a gift which is halal, the origin of that gift is not your problem. How the man earned that food is not your problem. Yes, we know this much fiqh, right? All of us are great muftis. We are bigger muftis than Abu Bakr Siddiq. Na'udhu billah. So if he drank this milk was not haram for him. Number one. Number two, dalil. Abu Bakr Siddiq drank this milk not knowing it. Unknowingly, if you do something, in any case, there is no sin on you. Yes? Then why did he vomit it out? That's why I said, we are bigger muftis than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. This was the nature of the Sahaba which made the Sahaba what they were. They never took chances with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules. So ask yourself, what are you eating? Eating halal is the basic requirement for the acceptance of dua. Eating halal is the basic requirement for the acceptance of ibadah. Today, most of this ummah is eating haram. And I can show you documented cases. There was a case in South Africa, there's another case currently in the UK where pork chops, boxes of pork chops have been stamped halal. The case in South Africa, there was a white guy who called up the association of scholars, and he called them up and he said, "What kind of nonsense are you people doing? He said, what did we do?" He said, "There is a halal stamp on pork chops. You Muslims are playing games with your own religion." Non-Muslim guy, he's a Christian guy, he called up. He said, "You Muslims are playing games with your own religion. How did this halal stamp find its way onto pork chops?" Can you imagine? Somebody is blindly stamping things. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Please understand this. So eating halal. Number two is earning halal. Today again we have a situation where muftis give fatawa and they say that up to 15% of your income, if it is halal, if it is haram, it is okay. And somebody said up to 35% haram is okay. I don't know who gives them this, who gave the mufti the authority to make halal what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made haram. Because what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about the issue of haram and halal in earning? Rasulullah said, if a man earns 100 dirham, and in that 100 dirham, if one of those dirham is haram, it makes the other 99 also haram. So what is the tolerance level of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with regard to haram earning? Zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. There is no tolerance at all. Zero tolerance. And today we are bigger muftis than Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we allow what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't allow. And we said, kya karna sahab? Aajkal ki zarurat hai. Aajkal ki zarurat haram khana hai. That is why our dua is not accepted. That is why we make dua, Ya Allah, help us, Ya Allah, help us, Ya Allah, help us. You scream and you yell and you do all that and you have thousands of people and hundreds and thousands of people all around the Kaaba and all around everywhere. And the dua doesn't even go above the head, doesn't get accepted. We do not see the signs of acceptance of this dua. Why? Because we are all eating haram. I'm not saying everybody is eating. I'm not saying you are eating haram. I'm just saying this is the condition of the ummah, generally speaking. May Allah protect all of us from that. We are earning haram and we are eating haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only declared interest haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one who deals with interest, who takes it or who pays it. And we have made this jais. We have made this jais. And we have created rules. And we said that in this country it is allowed, and that country is allowed. Allah did not say which country. Allah did not say which country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only made it haram, He declared war on the one who deals with it. But we have made it jais. So we are earning haram and we are eating haram. Just think about this. Please, at least let us have some shame. The Brahmin does not eat meat his whole life. Not one day or 2 days. His entire life he does not eat meat in order to please his God, which we consider to be a false deity. Yes? And we cannot miss a chicken for one meal to please Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Muslims will eat anything as long as it is dead. Yeah, that's by definition. Muslims will eat anything as long as it is dead. How tragic is that? How tragic is that? We have people buying meat. In the US, for example, by law, all composite meats, which means that things like all the cold cuts and meat loaf and all of this, it can be marked turkey meat loaf, but by law, 15% of that can be any other meat. Legally, 15% of it can be any other meat. Now, first of all, that turkey itself is probably not slaughtered in the Muslim Islamic way. Therefore, by itself, even if it is turkey meat loaf, even then it is haram. But I'm saying that 15% of it can be any other meat, and by definition, anywhere in the US and Europe, any other meat means pork, because pork is the cheapest meat available. So when you are eating meat loaf turkey, you are more than likely eating also pork. And this is across the world. Bread, the fattening in that is invariably lard, pig fat. Yogurt, jellies, all jellies, yogurt, all of them, that gelatin comes from bones. Which bones? More than likely 100% pig bones. Even if that was not the case, it would still be bones of animals which are not slaughtered in the Islamic way, because that's not the method at all. That's not the method there. It's not their way. We're eating haram and we are earning haram. And that's the reason why our ibadah don't get accepted, our dua doesn't get accepted. And the tragedy is that it is so easy to eat halal. And it is so easy to earn halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Razzaqul Quwwatil Mateen. Who told you that you have to earn haram in order to eat? Who told you that Allah became so weak? And Allah went bankrupt. And Allah's stock crashed. That He can't feed you, so therefore please feed yourself. Haram, halal, anything. Did Allah say this? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In Allah huwa ar-Razzaqu dhul quwwatil matin. In Surah Al-Zariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is the Razzaq. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Razzaq, and He feeds you with His power, with bil quwwatil matin. But we need that iman. We need that understanding of our Rabb. We need that connection with our Rabb. We need that confidence in our Rabb to say that my Rabb is at least big enough to fill my one belly. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We need that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can feed us and Allah will feed us. And what is written for us will come to us. Without any doubt. Without any doubt. So, starting this minute, let us go and look at what we have in our fridge. And if there is anything that doesn't confirm 100%, apply the rule. Instead of haram, instead of doubtful, if it was poisoned, go look in the fridge. If it doesn't confirm 100%, throw it in the garbage. Throw it in the garbage. Don't even imagine, don't even touch it. When you go to eat out in restaurants, check and recheck and recheck. Don't just say this belongs to a Muslim. It can belong to a Muslim. All the halal certification is being done by Muslims. I'm not saying it is all faulty. There are, alhamdulillah, there are good organizations who are doing a good job, but go find them. Who find them? Who are they? What are they? Check. Just because something belongs to a Muslim doesn't guarantee that it is halal. I wish it was so. I wish it was so. But unfortunately, the reality is, whether you like it or not, that is not so. The chickens coming out of processing factories, which are being sold in the shops adjoining the haram, which means that you make umrah, and then you go and you eat your chicken, and that chicken is haram. And if you don't believe me, go and see what happens in a chicken factory, a processing factory. You don't have to believe me. Go and look for yourself. I have seen and I'm telling you, this is the reality. This is the reality. So let us make very sure, as part of Tazkiyatun Nafs wa Tarbiyatul Akhlaq, which is the series that we are doing, the issue of haram and halal, ensure that we earn halal and that we eat halal. And anything which is doubtful, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. The muhaddithin say that there are three ahadith which are in themselves, each one of them is one third of the deen. And out of those three ahadith, first one is innamal a'malu binniyat, the second one is this one, and the third one is hadith Jibreel. Out of those three, this is one of them, which is one third of our deen. 33% of our deen is one hadith. It is so jami, it is so complete in its wisdom of what Rasulullah said. Can you imagine? Leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Rasulullah said that a shepherd who grazes his sheep close to the boundary of the king, it is invariable, it is very likely that some of those sheep will cross over the boundary and the shepherd will be in trouble. Therefore, do not even go near the boundary. We are not talking about crossing the boundary. We are saying don't even go close to the boundary. Don't even go close to the boundary. The boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqqu la ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. Allah is the King. Allah is the King of Kings. تُوْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ وَتَنْزِيُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءَ. He is the one who gives the kingdom and who takes away the kingdom. So how much more careful should we be about the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Especially when we know that these hudud have not been set for the benefit of Allah. They have been set for our own benefit, personal benefit. If a doctor tells you don't eat this food because it will kill you, if a doctor tells you are diabetic, don't touch this thing, or you are something else and don't touch that thing, you will follow that absolutely rigidly. Yeah? Even though you know that whether you eat it or you don't eat it, one day you will die. There is no doctor who can save your life. One day you will die. Despite that, you will say, no, no, I can't eat this. If somebody invites you to his house, you will say, no, no, but these are my dietary restrictions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you go over or you cross the dietary restriction of the doctor, it might harm you physically. And as I said, one day you die anyway. But that dietary restriction will not send you into the Jahannam. It will not send you into the hellfire. But crossing the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send you into the hellfire. But the reality is, hellfire is not real for us. Hellfire is not real for us. And that's the reason why we feel so comfortable crossing the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please, don't play games with your own life. And especially with the life of the Akhirah. Earn halal, eat halal. What has been written for you cannot be increased, cannot be decreased. All that choice we have is which source do you want it from, halal source or haram source. Pick the halal source and Allah will give you what He was written for you anyway, and He will give you with barakah and He will reward you. Take it from the haram source, you still get the same amount and you also get the fire of Jahannam in your belly. And so also with eating. Eat halal. If you have a doubt, leave it. If you have any doubt, leave it. We go and eat in this, function and that function and so on and so forth. And we just trust. As I told you, instead of halal, if it said poison, what would you do? Keep this rule. As I told you, if the taqwa is too weak, at least use this other rule. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our taqwa. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase the reality of the Jannah or Jahannam in our lives, to increase the understanding of Allah Jalla wa Ala and His power and His glory, and to enable us to eat halal and to earn halal, and to give the barakah of that in our dua and in our ibadat. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.